Near FM.
The Week in Review with Declan Ralph. For stories you haven't heard anywhere else on the radio this week.
Hi there, I'm Declan Ralph and welcome along to The Week in Review. As usual today, I'll take a look at the stories that affect us, but you won't have heard much about them anywhere else on the radio this week. So I'll be looking beyond the stories that you usually hear about, and instead I'll feature stories about people and groups that you may know or are interested in. Indeed, you might even be involved with them. I'll feature stories too about groups that represent and advocate for minorities in our community and further afield, and we'll have those local stories that affect you as well. Now, if you'd like me to feature something on the programme today or in the future, you can contact me on the show while I'm here. The text line is open, 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500. You can email me as well to weekinreview@near.ie. weekinreview@near.ie. Also on Twitter at NearFM, at Declan Ralph, hashtag weekinreview. Now, coming up shortly, the local stories with Ken. This week, life-saving reductions in speed limits are proposed for major North Dublin routes. Join the conversation at the Fingal Development Plan public consultation webinars. An interesting headline that simply says, and here is what we're talking about. Then Dublin City Council and On Board Pinala clash over the Dublin skyline, and mental health is the new goal at Shells. Dublin has long been a thriving home for comedy, but what does that scene look like when it has had to move online, and how can it become a force for doing good? Well, next Friday week, that's April 23rd, we'll see some of the hottest names in Irish comedy tickle funny bones in Ireland and abroad with the Big Laugh In. And it's all to help raise awareness and vital funds for the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, which works to prevent and heal the trauma of rape and sexual abuse. Better still, the event will be hosted by a new organisation which is campaigning to create a safer and more inclusive comedy scene in Ireland. And among those joining in the fun will be podcaster Eve Darcy, who will be here to tell Sarah all about it in about 10 minutes' time or thereabouts. Just after one then, Sarah will be back with us to take a look at the local virtual events taking place over the next few days. And after that, each April, something special happens in Dublin. Over 10 days, producers, artists and musicians, well, they all work together celebrating music of all genres in both established venues and in unorthodox locations, putting creativity, diversity, community and history centre stage. Music Town nurtures collaborations between artists and across disciplines, and the results are very special indeed. And their festival director, Leagues O'Toole, he'll be talking to Ken today at around about 1:15. And then before we finish, just time, I'm sure, to squeeze in the jobs and volunteering opportunities that are available locally. I take all of these from the activelink.ie website, where there are literally hundreds of opportunities. Local stories with Ken Kilbride. Hi, Ken. Good afternoon to you.
I'm very well, and yourself?
Not a bother at all, Ken. We're going to look at some of the local stories that you have today. A very interesting one. A proposal for the north side of Dublin. A life-saving reduction in speed limits proposed for major North Dublin routes. What's all that about?
So indeed, many parts of the Dublin north side could see their speed limits drastically reduced in an attempt to prevent road deaths. So the public consultation, which began yesterday, we'll see a 30-kilometre speed limit for most of the city and the suburbs, and 40 kilometres on a number of other north side roads. So last month, the road safety section proposed a 40-kilometre speed limit on Griffith Avenue, Collins Avenue, Oscar Traynor Road and the Malahide Road. However, in the bylaws which went out for consultation, they included many other north side roads, including Glasnevin Avenue, Howth Road, Coolock Lane, Grace Park, the coastal road at Clontarf and the causeway down to Bull Island. And the limits under these proposals for the rest of the city would be 30 kilometres. So Brendan O'Brien, who's the council's traffic department, said the probability that a pedestrian will be killed if hit by a motor vehicle increases dramatically with speed. And road safety authority statistics show that the lower speeds dramatically reduce the number of people killed in collisions. So, and he's saying, you know, 1 in 10 will die when they're hit by a car 30 kilometres. 3 will die when they hit at 40 kilometres. 5 will die at 50 kilometres. However, nearly 9 in 10 will die when they're hit by a car doing 60 kilometres. So they're saying there's an awful lot of, you know, work done to be there. Now, the difficulty, not the difficulty I have with it, but, you know, I support this. But, you know, most people drive 40, 50 kilometres anyway. So there's going to be an awful lot of work needed to be done around public education to get this one through, or actually get people actually to drive at the right speed. through city areas.
Yeah, it is a challenge. You say, look, nobody's in favour of speeding, but there has to be a balance between obviously saving lives and keeping the traffic and keeping the city moving as well. You know, nobody wants to see anybody, you know, die at all. Never mind the 1 in 10. You'd want it to be 0 in 10, to be honest. But yep. Cars do have to move around the city, and there is some sort of a practical balance there as well, I suppose, to be struck. Now, moving on to the next story. You want us to join the conversation at the Fingal Development Plan public consultation webinars. Of course, all public consultation going online as well at the moment.
At the moment, yes, for the next year or so, I think. So Fingal County Council has commenced the review of its current development plan and is preparing a new one for the years 2023 to 2029. And it's looking at the public to take part in an active process, which will take 2 years to complete. So strategic issue papers were published on the 12th of March, and they present an outline of the critical issues facing Fingal and set out the theme of some of the key issues that may need to be addressed in the new plan. So you're talking things like, you know, population growth is very fast growing, traffic, you know, the Metro North, things like that as well. So again, there's a lot of information there. So if you go to fingal.ie, you can get involved in this 2 month consultation period. So you can either go to consultfingal.ie, or you can actually post it to the development team, Fingal County Council, Swords in Dublin, and they need to be there by the 12th of May. So as part of the development process, Fingal County Council is eager to engage with all interested parties, community groups and individuals. So as part of this, they're saying they're doing the public consultation webinars. These begin this week on the 13th. They run up to the 22nd of April, and they discuss a number of themes in the strategic issue paper. So, again, people sort of, you know, why we talk a little bit about Fingal in this program. I always remember years ago, and he surprised me one day when we were talking about this, because he went off some research when I was doing something else. Fingal actually goes as far as Santry.
Yes.
If you come out the doors of Near FM, take a right, go down Oscar Traynor Road, you go into Santry Woods. It's a lovely park, but that's under control of Fingal County Council.
Yep.
You've got Balgriffin, Baldoyle, Kinsealy, Swords, Sutton, Holt, all the way out. So we talked about, you know, Near FM being near Northeast Access Radio. Yeah, it's an awful lot of those areas as well.
It is indeed. Yeah, it's very close. Yeah, it's a lot closer than you think, as they say.
Indeed.
Now, I suppose they might even talk about speed limits in that development plan, would you think? You'd never know.
I think so, yeah.
You'd never know. Now, your next headline is intriguing, and I'm really intrigued to know what is this, because I don't know what you're going to talk about, but your headline is, and here is what we are talking about.
So again, just in talking about the strategic development plan, and the next story is about the same thing as well, because there's one in Dublin at the same time. But these are things that, you know, that are happening in your area. So Fingal County Council has announced that it's appointed a developer to construct the first affordable housing scheme in the county in 11 years. So the development at Dunemer and Lusk will consist of 51 homes, 39 which will be affordable, while 12 will be social housing. In a statement, Fingal County Council said the affordable homes will be made eligible to first-time purchasers. So price of the units will be around 25% be around market value, according to the council. 39 units will be a mixture of two-bedroom apartments, three-bedroom duplexes, and three-bedroom terraces, and three-bedroom semi-detached. So prices will start at 166,000 for the two-bedroom apartments, 206 for the three duplexes, and 250,000 for the terrace houses, and 258 for the semi-detached houses. While just down the road in Fingal, Glenveagh Properties has been selected by Fingal County Council as the preferred tenderer for the construction of 1,200 homes. We've talked recently about the St. Lawrence's land here, you know, just down the road on Oscar Traynor Road, and that's only going to be 850. So this is a big development. It's going to be 79 acres, and they're expecting the first phases to be delivered in 2023. In this one, the tenure is going to be 60% private housing, 20% private discounted housing, and 20% social housing. And prices here are going to range from 250,000 to 270,000 for a three-bedroom house. So there's an awful lot happening in development around you here today. So you got to get there and get involved in it.
Yeah.
Are you going to see things on your doorstep you weren't particularly interested in?
Absolutely, yeah. Have your say. That's what it's all about. Now, speaking of people having their say, there's a little bit of a discussion, let's say, going on between Dublin City Council and On Board Planola about the height of buildings in the city's skyline.
This one also involves the High Court, so there's an awful lot of to-ing and fro-ing over this one. So uncertainty now hangs over the development of Dublin as the City Council and Bord plan a clash over the future of the Dublin city skyline. So Dublin City Council has announced plans for the Docklands that include a default 8-storey height limit following a strategic development zone process that included public consultation. So they went there and talked to everybody, said, yep, let's do 8 stories. On Bord plan granted permission to developer Johnny Roan to go above that limit. Then the City Council successfully took the High Court challenge against him and Plenorna, and then Johnny Roan's now appealing that. So the City Council then submitted a revised plan to On Bord plan following a new ministerial guidelines and other national policies aimed at increasing height and densities in urban areas. This allowed for some higher buildings, including a 22-storey in Capital Dock, and this provides for the 25-storey one we're all talking about here. But after 2 years of consideration, the board on Bord plan recently overruled its own inspector and decided to reject the strategic development zone and is currently considering plans from Johnny Roan for towers which would be 41 stories and 45, which is, you know, New York-esque, yep, to be honest, in terms of size. Journalist and author well-known in the area, Frank MacDonald, said the planning system is now in an unprecedented situation. There's also 200 original housings in the North City Docklands who have been in the front line in the development of the debate. Local resident Murray O'Reilly said the SDZs represent an agreement between the community, the council developers, and if these agreements are allowed to be broken, then this will have an effect on the rest of the city and the country. However, Alan Robinson, who's of the Docklands Business Forum, said that while the city is projected to grow by nearly 300,000 people by 2040, that more height and density is needed than the city council would have allowed. He said there were 25,000 people commuting into the Docklands who could indeed move in there, revitalise the area, while more office space is also needed for big techs. So this one, you know, Dublin City Council are seeing what they're going to do next, whether they're going to revise the SDZ or take a judicial review to the High Court. So, but again, these are the things we're talking about because, you know, we talked about the Fingal development, yeah, plan. There's a Dublin development plan at the minute. It's either got to go up or out. And if you want to make it go one way, you got to get involved.
And if you pardon the pun, Ken, I'm sure this is a story that you will follow for us.
Indeed.
I'm really surprised you didn't get that in there yourself. Mental health is the new goal at Shells.
So Shelbourne Football Club and St. Patrick's Mental Health Services have teamed up with one common goal in mind, to promote mental well-being in the community. Shelbourne is committed to embedding mental health promotion at the core of its club ethos, and it sees the holistic development of young club members with the Shelbourne FC Youth Academy as a key part of its community work. And as Ireland's largest not-for-profit mental health service, St. Patrick's Mental Health Services, is driving the vision of a society where all citizens are empowered and given the opportunity to live mentally healthy lives. So kicking off the partnership, they're going to put a message on their jersey, stigma doesn't play, I do, to both the men's and women's matchday kits. And this initiative is particularly meaningful for members and supporters of Shells, who sadly lost two supporters to suicide in 2018. And in the same year, they had the sudden loss of a young player due to one rare heart conditions. And these events have had a lasting impact on the people in the community. So they're looking to support, and mental health has become one of their intrinsic core values. So if people are looking for more information about it, have a look at shelbourne.ie, and, you know, good luck to them with that initiative, and hope it's very successful for them.
Yeah, well done to them on that. And thanks a million to you, Ken, for all the stories today.
No problem. Thank you very much.
So coming up after this short break now for some music, Sarah will be here. Sarah's going to talk to podcaster and comedian Eve Darcy about an event that's happening next Friday week, April the 23rd. They're going to tickle the funny bones of people here in Ireland and abroad, and it's all to raise awareness and funds for the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. So that's coming up in about 2 minutes after this short piece of music.
Hi there, and you're very welcome back to The Week in Review with Declan Ralph, Ken Kilbride and myself, Sarah Birmingham. Don't forget, if you have a story you'd like us to highlight on the show anytime, you can get in touch with us here by text to 087-69-44-500 or by email to weekinreview@near.ie. Well, that was, of course, Come Up and See Me and Make Me Smile, or indeed Make Me Laugh, as people across Dublin have really been doing for decades and 100 years, I'm sure, before that as well. It really has been a thriving city for comedy. But what does that scene look like when it has to move online? In the last year, of course, you know, so many changes like that, but the show very much still goes on. And comedy can be a real force for good as well. Next Friday week is April 23rd, and that night is going to see some of the hottest names in Irish comedy tickle funny bones in Ireland and abroad with the Big Laugh In. It's all to help raise awareness and funds for the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, which works to prevent and heal the trauma of rape and sexual abuse. Better still, the event is also going to be hosted by an organisation which is campaigning to create a safer and a more inclusive comedy scene in Ireland. And I'm delighted to be joined on the line now by comedian and podcaster Eve Darcy, who's taking part on the night. And delighted to hear a little bit more about what's in store. Thanks for joining us on the show, Eve.
Thanks so much, Sarah, for having me on the show and for that lovely introduction and great explanation of everything. Thank you so much.
Well, hopefully I haven't covered it all now. I mean, there's an awful lot going on, and I think that's the message for people, is that there's still opportunities to check things out and to have a good laugh, even at the moment when things are a little bit different. Can you tell us a little bit about the Big Laugh In? You know, what's it all about? Who's involved?
Absolutely, yes. So the Big Laugh In for DRCC, so as yourself and Declan both have said, it's on Friday the 23rd of April. Doors, you know, virtual doors are going to be at 8:20 p.m. and then the show is going to kick off at 8:30 p.m. and it's going to go for about 2 hours, and there'll be an interval of 10 minutes, we think. 10 minutes is probably long enough because, you know, you don't have to queue for the toilets in your own house or anything, so it should be fine.
Take a short break.
Yeah, and so there's great, like, the lineup is really incredible. So we've Maeve Higgins, Eleanor Tiernan, Gerard Farrelly, Jarlath Regan, Alison Spittle, Catherine Bohart, and then also Fern Brady and Sakisa. So really, really excited. Like, it's an amazing lineup.
Yeah, it's really a gathering of, as you say, kind of that who's who, like the, some of the really kind of up-and-coming and the best and most entertaining names on the comedy scene. Why the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, and why now? Kind of what's the passion, the motivation for the gig?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, so I guess there's a couple of things to that. So there's a new organisation called Comedy Safety Standards, and the Twitter handle for that is @ComedySafety. Well, all the social handles are that. And so basically it's a performer-led organisation campaigning to create a safer, more inclusive comedy scene in Ireland. So, and we connected with DRCC, who've been so supportive of us and what we're trying to achieve. And they have gotten in touch with us and on board with us, and we're working together to provide training for clubs and promoters and comedians and everything, just to raise awareness, basically, of the challenges faced by comics, and to give advice to new and existing performers on just how to make comedy a safer, more welcoming place for everyone, really. You know, because anything in the arts industry, and particularly comedy, you know, there's no HR or anything. It's quite unboundaried. And, you know, just like stuff can happen. So it's just about making things, it's making it a more safe working environment for everyone, really, to have fun and to flourish in their comedy careers and aspirations, you know.
I think this gig just looks like such a really nice coming together like that. As you say, you know, people can kind of maybe be on their own, I guess, if you think about a comedian like that who's on stage or who's kind of out there. You know, it's really nice just to have that kind of network. And then obviously everyone who's involved is making a big difference and giving back to the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. For people who maybe would like to check it out, maybe who haven't been at an online gig before, what kind of way does that work, or how have you found them?
Yeah, so in order to be able to attend the show, you can go to idonate.ie/comedy. So that's the website address. So you just go to that and there's an option to donate. Now, in order, you can donate any amount, but tickets start at donations of €12. So when you click and pay €12, you'll automatically get an email then sent to you with the link for the show. And so it'll be a YouTube link. So, and that will go live, obviously, on the night of the event. The thing I would like to say to everyone, to anyone who's considering buying a ticket, and obviously, why wouldn't you? It's an amazing lineup for a great cause. Just don't, whatever you do, don't put in anonymous, as we've had a few people just messages about, like, if they put in the anonymous and their donation, but their names remain anonymous, that they don't receive an email. So seemingly what happens is if you click anonymous, you're opting out of emails and links being sent to you.
Oh, okay.
So just, you know, stick in your name and then we definitely have you have the ticket to you.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to put your name up there, and that's the easiest way, then you'll be able to get in touch with that. And, like, in terms of comedy at the moment, obviously there's been a whole heap of serious things going on the last year, and the world has been kind of shaken up a little bit. But, you know, are there opportunities, kind of new opportunities to find comedy in that? Or what's your kind of observations on new ways that we're doing things and the new ways that we're all living.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, really, like how adaptive humans are, isn't it, really? You know, we've all kind of just gotten on with things in different ways. And yeah, there are loads of Zoom gigs, loads of online comedy Zoom gigs, which are great. Like Bright Club, actually, I'm doing a gig with them on Tuesday. They have very established Zoom gigs. And yeah, viral comedy. There's loads of people trying loads of things. And they're really fun, actually. Like the first few online Zoom gigs I did were like very weird, you know, because you're just in your own house, in your own room by yourself, talking at a screen, and you can't even really hear or see anyone, so you're just hoping that it's going well.
It's just a bit of a back hole, isn't it? Yeah.
But with this gig actually now on the 23rd of April, what we're going to do is there's going to be like a front row kind of audience as well in there, and that's going to be made up of DRCC staff. That's going to be the front row. And so we will have some interaction, thankfully, with some humans. So that would be good for the act, I think, as well, you know, to just kind of add to it.
They're brave sitting in the front row like that. I think basically a lot of us are missing kind of being in the front row of comedy gigs. So, you know, and just having that kind of engagement and that kind of bit of crack as well. So people will be really looking forward to it. And you've been keeping really busy as well. Obviously, you've the podcast going on as well, Humans Discussing. What have humans been discussing recently? Or what is it like, you know, what are our experiences being at the moment?
I know. Well, I think everyone is just existing at the minute, aren't they? It's kind of it's difficult enough. The podcast actually has changed a tiny bit just during COVID or sort of lately, just as these lockdowns seem to just keep going on. I've changed it a little bit. So what it used to be and what it will return to is where I meet with just a fellow human and I learn what life is like for them. So and particularly it's kind of focused on like if they have experienced a time in their life that was difficult, but that they're comfortable to talk about. And just the idea of that is that they, if they're comfortable, obviously, just to share what that was like for them, but also what they learned from that and what helped them through that difficult time. And the hope and intention of my asking them that and the focus being on more of the positive side of things and I guess of people's resilience and everything, is that if anyone is listening then to that episode and hearing, maybe relating to what that person has gone through, that it just would instill maybe some hope for them, for that person, you know, that, okay, well, this thing helped them, so maybe I'll give that a try. It might help me as well. So that's the idea. And it was really, I love doing that podcast because I'd meet with the guests and we'd like have lots of biscuits and play games like Jenga and Twister and all this. And we'd be answering like difficult questions and then we'd have a nice chat. And it was just so lovely. And like some of the guests were like John Cleary, Shauna Scott, Alison Spittle, Grove Farrelly, Tara Flynn, you know, Aoife Dooley, Fred Cook, like it was, and Old Colgan. Like it was just like, it was great chatting to, like, and they were so open and honest and everything. Like, so it was just wonderful. And kind of definitely a mental health sort of, I guess it's just about being human, really, you know, so all of the things are encapsulated there. But now it's more about, I'm doing a master's in psychotherapy, so it's more about like what therapy is about and attachment styles and just things I'm learning that I'm just kind of passing on. You know, because I feel like, you know, during a pandemic might not be the best time to be asking people to tell me about a difficult time in their lives. It's kind of like, this is the difficult time. We're all, this is it. Sure. Everyone is having a difficult time.
Yeah, we're kind of all seeing and hearing and reading so much about, you know, what things are like at the moment that it could be quite intense, I suppose, you know, to have that kind of a vibe. But it sounds like the work that you're doing is really interesting and valuable for people too, I'm sure, you know.
Totally.
Where can people find the podcast
if
they like to tune in there?
It's on all the platforms. So it's Humans Discuss Being, and it's on all the platforms. And you're right, like it's definitely a bit intense at the minute, isn't it? You know, things have been so serious. So what I've done actually, if people want to check out my Instagram, it's at EveDarcy1, and go to the IGTV. I've done like the silly thing in lockdown, which is like called Serial Fillers, where I just talk to comedians about cereal. So that was just a total distraction from lockdown.
That's what we're all kind of looking for at the moment, really, isn't it? You know, and obviously then leading on from that, if people would like to go on Friday week is the 23rd and check out the Big Laugh In for the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. So it's fun and doing good as well at the same time. Where can people go for tickets or for more info on that?
So www.idonate.ie/comedy. So that's where you can get your tickets and donate money as well, and all the money goes to the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. So all these amazing acts are giving up their time and their talent for this great cause. So yeah, idonate.ie/comedy.
It couldn't really be easier, could it? I'm really looking forward to it myself. I'm going to go on and get my ticket now. Certainly encourage everyone else out there to do likewise as well, because I think
it's a
night not to be missed. And the very best to look at it. Thanks so much for coming on and telling us a little bit about it today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, Sarah. Thank you.
Great stuff. Thanks.
Thanks, Sarah, and thanks a million to Eve as well. Sounds like a good night out. Sarah, you will come back just after the break and do the events with me.
Looking forward to it, for
yeah,
sure.
We'll chat to you then. Also coming up in the next part of the programme after the events, Ken will be back again for a chat with Leagues O'Toole. Leagues is the Festival Director of Music Town Dublin, a fantastic, innovative and creative music festival. We'll hear all about that. And just before we finish, I'll squeeze in the jobs and volunteering spot as well. So all of that to come on the Week in Review.
90.3.
This is Near FM. Near FM.
And welcome back to the programme. I'm Declan Ralph. I'm here with Sarah Birmingham and Ken Kilbride. Now, if you'd like me to feature something on the programme, you can contact me while the show is on air. The text line is 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500. You can email weekinreview@near.ie, or you'll get me on Twitter at nearfm, at Declan Ralph, hashtag weekinreview. Local events with Sarah Birmingham. Hi, Sarah. How are you today?
Hi, Declan. How are things? Good, good.
Very good, yeah. So we're going to look at some of the virtual events coming up over the next little while. First one you have for us about supporting girls' sport with the Girls Get Active Hackathon.
I am a bit of a newcomer to the world of hackathons, I must admit, but they seem to be one of those kind of online activities that are really blossoming at the moment and taking off, and something that can be done online. This one in particular is an interesting one because it relates to the fact that lots of teenage girls end up missing out on the fun of taking part in sport and in physical activity. If we look around the north side of Dublin or Dublin and overall or across the country, you know, there's lots of girls who maybe could benefit from being involved in sport, but maybe they think that, you know, it's not really for them. They don't know how to get involved, or they don't know about the full range of opportunities that are out there. Maybe if team sport isn't for you, you know, there's lots more as well. So Sport Ireland is now offering people the opportunity to help change the score on girls' sport. The Sport Ireland Girls Get Active Hackathon is calling on people to help break down barriers and use your voice to make a difference. Have your say on what you think might help change the score, as they say. So whether you're a teacher, a parent, a student, a researcher, or even if you just think that you have an idea that maybe could be turned into a programme, then Sport Ireland want to hear from you. The hackathon is going to take place over a series of Zoom events from this coming Friday, April 16th to Friday, April 30th, when they'll have a kind of culmination event. So there's a couple of events over the coming weeks. And if that's something that's of interest to you, and if you have some ideas there, you can register to take part either as an individual or as part of a group. If you just search the Sport Ireland Girls Get Active Hackathon online is probably the easiest thing to do.
Brilliant. You can't beat a good hackathon. Now, the Dublin's Chester Beattie Library is a great resource, and now they're encouraging us to take an online coffee break with them.
They are indeed, yeah. So I guess they've kind of branched out. You know, the library obviously is well renowned for being in Dublin and for hosting different exhibitions and things to get us thinking, and now they kind of want to get us moving as well on our coffee breaks or on our breaks or lunch breaks or whatever it is from work, especially for those who have been working at home maybe for the last couple of months, you know, and maybe kind of sitting in quite a stationary kind of position. It's time to get up and get moving a little bit. So Chester Beattie are hosting a series of online events for everyone over the next couple of months, and this week they are focusing on people who are working from home. It's all part of their Coffee Break Movement series, which is hosted by Cayman Ryan, and it aims to address problems that are caused by working in stationary environments. He has said that if it is believed, once you have a lower back, it's something that can stay with you for life. So, you know, there are things that we do, maybe exercises that we can do to help combat that early on, you know, and combat kind of the effect of sitting at desk for long periods of time, which can put pressure on our spine, and, you know, poor posture as well can affect our backs and our hips and even our mood as well. So K-Ministers has designed a series of videos, I should say, which can be accessed through the Chester Beattie website at any time. They're up there, you know, they're for those that maybe have a little bit of experience in movement, you know, maybe haven't kind of gone there too much recently. And, you know, there's some nice tips and some demonstrations there on how you can give your hips and your backs a good stretch out, your back even, if we only have one. So all the more reason to look after it. If you search for Chester Beattie and the online coffee break movement series, you can find out more there and you can access those recordings as well.
Brilliant. I'm doing the exercises here myself in the chair in the studio, just as you say. Now, in the same vein, I suppose, you are suggesting that we expand our home office with a series of iconic events. Other events we can do during the working day, is it?
Yeah, that's it. So I guess lots of attention and focus now at the moment on people who are working from home, maybe who've been doing so for the last couple of months or the last year. Lots of virtual events taking place in the daytime as well. So maybe if you already have kind of the laptop open and that, it's something that you can check out. These are a series of free events from the Dublin-based Iconic Offices Workspaces company, and a kind of sign of the times, I suppose. They're all about you know, remote working and where you work and making that kind of as comfortable an environment as possible. So they've delivered a series of online sessions. There's Wellness Wednesday sessions looking at stress and anxiety and different things that people can experience in the workplace. There's lunch and learn events with topics including how to green your home office, if that's something that's of interest to you. There's bite-sized cookery classes showing you how to cook up a storm for lunch, and lots more besides too. So all very much daytime focused, and the events taking place over the coming weeks include a workshop on mindful creativity, a crash course on making webinars work if that's something that is relevant to your work, and a class even on how to cook Thai food at home as well. So they really are kind of shaking up the online events scene at the moment, all for free. They have webinars as well looking at the future of work and reimagining Dublin's working world and stuff like that. So if any of that kind of tempts your fancy there, you can check out iconicoffices.ie and see what they have to offer there.
Sounds good. Yeah, sounds really good. Now, the next event is about discovering the world of the Irish Student Drama Awards. I've never heard of them.
Yeah, I don't know now if I should say that I kind of would have dipped my toe possibly in the student drama scene. Never had the honour of attending or being crowned at the awards, but I know that they're a very big national kind of event for universities and colleges and students who are into kind of edgy kind of theatre, maybe you could say, in some ways. Mm-hmm. The Student Drama Awards, of course, they're the kind of event that would normally, you know, really bring a lot of colour and a lot of life to campuses, usually around this time of the year. Of course, at the moment, they are virtual, but I suppose what that means is that people beyond the world of college and university can check them out as well and see what's going on and see the upcoming kind of artists and emerging artists who are there. So this year's festival is being hosted by Trinity College Dublin's Players Society, and it includes online shows and awards, as well as events, panel discussions, talks, and a new online gallery as well, where students' creative work will be showcased. They're showing 16 shows, all staged virtually this year. The tickets are completely free. It does feel like quite a new way of doing things, so you might be tempted to see how that works, virtually staged shows. I know tonight Queen's University Belfast are presenting a work called Murder at the Paradise Hotel. Next Friday, Trinity College Dublin Players Societies are presenting what I thought was a cleverly named piece, Do As I Tweet, Not As I Do. And if you're interested in checking out a bit more there, there's a full programme of events, all 16 of those shows and lots more as well, at irishstudentdrama.com.
Brilliant. That's very clever, isn't it? Do As I Tweet, Not As I Do. Very clever indeed.
Sure.
Now, just time to squeeze in one more, Sarah, and we'll talk about the opportunity to learn more about positive parenting with the Northside Partnership, of course, located very close to us here in Near FM.
Absolutely, yeah, and still doing quite a lot as well at the moment. Lots of different really supportive programs for people, I think, maybe who, you know, especially at the moment might feel that they might benefit from that. Lots of things available to people to take part in as well. The Preparing for Life program is one of those. It's a prevention and an early intervention project, which is based right here, as you say. It aims to improve children's lives by supporting parents, early years practitioners and teachers. It's Triple P, Positive Parenting Program. It's the Triple P, offers simple practical strategies which have been proven to work in helping parents to raise happy and confident children. The program is available completely free of charge to any parent or caregiver of a child aged up to 12 who lives in the Northside Partnership catchment area of Dublin 3, 5, 13 or 17. So this general area, if that might be of interest to you. They are starting a new series of events via Zoom this coming Tuesday, it's April 13th, and they're taking registrations now from parents and carers who might be interested in taking part. So if you'd like to find out a little bit more about that program, it's a free program of support for parents and carers, or indeed to register, preparingforlife.ie, and you'll find out all the information there.
Great, preparingforlife.ie. Thanks a million, Sarah, for looking at all the events for us today. Thanks a million.
Thanks for that. Thanks.
Coming up after this short piece of music, Ken will be back, and Ken's going to have a chat with Leagues O'Toole, who's the Festival Director of Music Town.
And welcome back to the Week in Review. Don't forget, if you have a story you would like us to feature on the programme, you can contact us on text. That's text 087-69-44500 or email weekinreview@near.ie. Each April, something special happens in Dublin. Over 10 days, producers, artists and musicians work together, celebrating music of all genres in both established venues and unorthodox locations. Putting creativity, diversity, community and history centre stage, Music Town nurtures collaborations between artists and across disciplines, and the results are very special indeed. And to tell me about it now, I'm now joined by their festival director, Leagues O'Toole. Good afternoon, Leagues. How are you? And welcome to the programme.
Hey, Ken. Good to be having our annual
chat at this stage. But I'm guessing just about the festival, you know, it's probably a labour of love. So what's the history behind it? What's the big idea? Where did the idea come from for Music Town?
It came from May Yates, who is the arts officer in Dublin City Council. And going back about 4 years now, Ken, and I think at the time he felt that their office should be paying more attention to music because there was a lot of funding going into theatre and a lot of funding going into literary events and so on, that it would be nice to have an event that would be a platform for all the different sort of shapes and sizes of music that takes place in Dublin City, all the different genres, different age groups, and to sort of present something under that umbrella. And then as we went on through the years, the themes kind of evolved a little bit more. We asked the producers to think about, you know, what music meant in Dublin. How did music interact with, for instance, the architecture, the buildings of the city? How did music live side by side with the other art forms, theatre and visual art, literature and cinema? And we know through the years we've managed to fine tune it so that we get really, really interesting programmes of events that are very, very collaborative and imaginative. And then, of course, it all went weird last year. It all went askew. So, I mean, it normally happens around April, Easter or post-Easter. And obviously we had to postpone it in 2020. So we postponed it to September thinking everything's going to be grand in September.
All about Christmas.
Of course, we'd no real handle as a society back then on the longevity of the pandemic. So what we did was we went to all the people that we'd committed to giving funding for their events and said, is your event something that you can take out of a venue and take away a physical audience and make it an online event and still make that work? And about two thirds of the people were able to do that. So we presented that online in September of last year. But coming into this year, we knew the lie of the land. And when we put our call for proposals, we said to people, look, we can't have audiences at these events. Hopefully next year we can. We need people to propose events that can either work online to an online audience, or B, just something really, really different, but that doesn't require a physical audience to be present. And we got is always a great testament to the durability of the arts community in Dublin. We've managed to put together a really fantastic program, I think.
Well, it is, as I say, you know, we're looking at, you know, celebrating music, all genres, you know, and we're doing it different ways. And I say, it's interesting the way you talk about, you know, music involving with, you know, theatre buildings and other things like that again. So, so just in terms of, you know, obviously just you were saying about, you know, we have an annual talk at this stage, and, you know, you've had difficult, you know, trying to put the program together for this year. Will we have audiences? Won't we have audiences? You know, what's happening? But you went down a particular route. So could you maybe just give a flavor of what some of the events are coming up that you have this year?
Yeah, absolutely. 99% of them are essentially online events that you could probably describe as either concert films or there's a little bit of interview in there as well, and there's some discussion. So, for instance, we've some performances taking place in churches. We've Cathy Davey, who of course is an acclaimed songwriter. She's going to perform in the Pepper Canister Church, also known as St. Stephen's Church there, just on Mount Street. We've Ardu, who are an incredible a cappella group who we've worked with before, always put on incredible performances. They're performing in the Pro Cathedral with the Palestinian choir, which is the sort of in-house children's choir there in the Pro Cathedral. So nice that people are still able to get into the buildings and there won't be any audiences there. But of course, there's a certain magic that comes with the performances that take place in churches.
Well, obviously, that was one of the ones I did look at myself, just in terms of the Ardu and the choir of St. Mary's Pro Cathedral. So is this a live performance on the 18th at 8 o'clock? Or is it recorded? And how do you do social distancing with all those people singing at the one time?
It's recorded. It's pre-recorded. So, and it is a very, very strict COVID protocol in place with distancing. There's people that manage that. Everyone is briefed. You know, there's a hygiene routine involved in all of these events. And to be honest, everyone's been doing this for the past year, so they kind of have a good handle on how it can be done. So we're confident we can do all of this and make it safe and just ensure that the production is very, very tight. And then everyone's safe who's involved in the actual production and the performing side of each event.
Indeed, I'm just having a look back through your news section there, just in advance of talking to yourself. And you know, one name that crops up not only this year but a lot over the previous years is the Crosh Ensemble. So they're sort of nearly performing every day. And what they've done, they've commissioned a musical response to COVID. So could you tell me a bit about what Crosh Ensemble are going to be getting up to this year?
Sure, amazing. And the reason we've worked with them is they're just such natural collaborators. Everything they do is about collaboration. They collaborate with so many domestic and international musicians and composers. And what they did was they commissioned 9 different composers to write a piece of music for a duo within the Crash Ensemble themselves. And this is contemporary classical music, obviously, and they've made a video for each of these performances. So each night we showcase one piece of music, each by different composers, some fantastic composers in there, Aaron O'Grady and Rachel Lavelle and really, really fantastic people. So something different every night for 9 nights. From the Crash crew.
Well, obviously, that's you were talking about the groups there, and there's other people like David Kitt are doing events. But you were just talking there about, you know, unorthodox venues, and one of the, you know, the last one that came up on the schedule was Rooftop Lullabies. So, what sort of that and other venues are you performing in this year?
That's an interesting one. It's a great production company called Soft Productions. They sent through a couple of proposals and I had to kind of work through each of their ideas with them. And we had to eliminate some proposals based on restrictions and what was actually achievable for April. And what we came up with was one of their concepts, which is rooftop lullabies, where they have three young, fantastic young artists, each performing on the rooftop of a Dublin location. And the three fantastic young performers there, Bridget May Power is a great folk singer, and Mon Jovi is very new on the scene, and Faye O'Rourke from Soda Blonde. But what I think is really, you know, when we're presenting these online performances, we've got to be really aware of how they look and trying to make them look a little bit different and a little bit more engaging. You know, presenting online gigs is quite a difficult thing to do. It's not the same as going to a gig where you have a captive audience in a venue that are physically there watching the event. Online, you're competing with television, you're competing with Netflix, you're competing with your phone, which is sitting beside you on the couch. It's really difficult to keep people's engagement. So that's why we need to make sure that the stuff that we're putting out isn't just the same old sitting on the edge of the bed with the acoustic guitar, or, you know, in the rehearsal studio with the guys, that it looks visually beautiful. And I think this has the potential. I mean, I haven't seen it yet, obviously, but this has the potential to look beautiful. Aerial views of Dublin City, outdoors, something very, very different. So I'm really, really excited to see what the guys come up with.
Indeed, obviously, there's a lot of big star power in terms of the musicians, lots of interesting locations. But obviously, just in terms of this program, one of the words that we do really particularly like is it's all free.
Yeah. It's great. I mean, there's a lot of stuff online, and this is a funded event, so everyone gets paid. There is no real pressure in terms of ticket sales. 99% of it is free. There's one event that has a small ticket price, which is the Ardu Pro Cathedral. Yep. But otherwise, yeah, it is free and it's simple to watch. You know, you all the details are on musictown.ie. You go there and it'll direct you the time and the date the event will be uploaded onto the Musictown YouTube channel. So it's very, very straightforward. There's no real subscription or sign up or any complicated process to view the events. We wanted to make it as accessible as possible and get the most possible people to view this work, because we think it's important, you know, because this is a very different year for us, as was last year. And something that I discovered last year, Ken, was that despite all of the disruption and the negative story for the arts, that's something that I hadn't thought about before, was making these films that would be durable pieces of art, archivable online, and that each of these events is in its own way documenting what we are going through in the arts in Ireland in the pandemic era. And we will be able to look back at these documents in 10, 20, 30, 40 years time. And it'll be a very, very interesting perspective of how people in music and people in the arts world responded to this unprecedented disruption.
Well, thanks very much for coming along today. We really, really appreciate it. You know, you get this word eclectic used a lot, but, you know, it is going to be eclectic, interesting, and really different. So I hope people will log on to it. And just could you remind us where people, if they do want to get more information about the events and links and things like that, where do you find that?
Just go to musictown.ie, and that has a full schedule of all of our events from April 15th to 25th, and we'll give you the time and date of each event and where to go to view it. It's very, very simple.
Okay, thanks very much. Really, really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ken.
Thanks for that, Ken, and thanks a million to Leagues O'Toole as well. What a great name that is. Now, before we finish, I want to let you know about some jobs and volunteering opportunities that are available locally. I take these from the activelink.ie website, where there are literally hundreds of jobs and hundreds of opportunities. And this week, in fact, there are 16 requests for volunteers and 262 job offers. Now, the volunteering opportunity I have for you this week is about Team Hope. Team Hope are recruiting directors for their board of directors. They are an Irish Christian and child-focused international development organisation. They work with communities in Africa and Eastern Europe to transform children's lives by tackling poverty and inequality through their Christmas shoebox appeal, sustainable development projects, and in raising awareness of poverty's causes and impacts. And if that's something that you are interested in, well, you can get a pack of information at teamhope.com. nearfm.ie. And you can also then, if that still has your interest, you can return an expression of interest letter along with your CV to board@teamhope.ie before the 23rd of April. The job I want to tell you about this week is about the Institute of Public Health, who are looking for a public health development officer. The role is a 2-year fixed term role with the policy team, and the successful candidate will work on an all-island policy programme. The role will be based at their Dublin offices, although remote working arrangements are expected to be in place for much of 2021, as advised under the COVID-19 remote working arrangements. The successful candidate also should be aware then that when they are office-based and when working arrangements get back to normal, they need to be in the position to attend at the Dublin office as and when required. More details on that, publichealth.ie/vacancies. And the closing date for that is Thursday the 15th of April at 5 p.m. Well, believe it or not, that is it for another week of The Week in Review. Thanks a million to Ken and Sarah for their contributions today and also for all their work over the course of the last week. Don't forget, if you have an item you'd like me to feature, you can contact me on weekinreview@near.ie. That's weekinreview@near.ie. You'll also get me on Twitter @nearfm, @DeclanRalph, #weekinreview. We'll all be back at the same time next week. So for now, from me, Declan Ralph, see you soon on the radio. Bye for now. Bye-bye.